The Learn Me Something Podcast with your hosts, Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum.
Hey, everybody out there in the wonderful world of podcasts. My name is Rich Plum. I am here with Aaron Stewart.
Hi, everybody.
We're hanging over at Alex's place like we always are. So that means you're listening to Learn Me Something, and we're about to learn me something.
Thank goodness, because, you know, I had gone a whole, like, 5 minutes or something without learning something.
It's been a while.
My brain was starting to atrophy.
It's been a while for me. Aaron, do you experience road rage?
I'm in traffic a lot. And unfortunately, I do find it does get to me at times. And yeah.
Well, you're not alone. So this episode is on road rage. It came up, a friend of mine recommended that we do this topic. And I'm like, yeah, that's
an interesting one. I've been told that you don't.
That I don't road rage?
That you don't get road rage, yeah.
No, that's inaccurate. Whoever told you that is a complete lie.
Well, that was my roommate, so I'll
that I don't get road rage?
Yeah.
She's never seen
you experience road rage.
No, never. Okay. Well, she certainly hasn't, and I don't really display it a lot. Now, Interesting that you say that, because how do you know if you have road rage? Or how many people out there have road rage?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Well,
I would assume pretty much everybody, because, you know.
It kind of defines as what you call to what road rage is to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. There was a...
Is it actually like, you know, stopping your car and yelling at someone?
Well, that's the thing.
Or is it just getting mad at someone inside your car with your windows closed?
So I was doing some research for this, and there was a AAA article that came out in 2016, that said 80% of people on the roads experience road rage.
And those people that are not are probably just not paying that much attention, realistically.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It's like, number one,
other ones are just kind of ignorant and just going, no, whatever, it's cool.
I would like to drive in the car of one of those other 20% because they must be the chillest people on the planet to not experience any road rage at all. And also, what the hell is wrong with the 80% of us that are?
Well, that's the question. Is that something wrong, or is that an actual, like, you know, something that can be an actual usable part of our physiology, or
I think it's just psychology. And inherently, I mean, getting angry is just what it is. But this article, it was pretty broad in its description of road rage, which I didn't really like. It included things like honking horn or showing annoyance.
No, that would be, I mean, you know, shaking your fist at someone would be a version of road rage.
Yeah, but just showing annoyance, like looks over and faces and even honking horn, would you call that road
that
rage?
That would be a sign of aggression, yeah. I mean, you know, the decoding of people's facial expressions, right?
I don't know if I would call that road rage, though.
But, I mean, if you're expressing any kind of anger or rage, that would be considered, right?
I would call that a normal human emotion.
But what is that normal human emotion?
Well,
what is the name of that normal human emotion?
Anger.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So it's a form of rage.
Yeah, but anger is, I mean, I think road rage is going a little further. So this article...
Well, see, I mean, there's experiencing road rage and there's acting on road rage. And there's that would be a distinction, I think, to make there, right? Like, it's not just a matter of experiencing it. It's actually the carrying out of something maybe that's the distinction of, like, road rage is just the actual feeling of, you know, rage towards someone. And there would probably be a separate, I don't know, manslaughter maybe for the people carrying it out, right?
Well, here's what... Here's my definition. Road rage encompasses a variety of aggressive behaviors by the driver of a motor vehicle, which seems well beyond the perceived offense committed by the victim, and also unsafe driving actions and showing no regards for safety. So that's my definition of road rage. Someone's cut you off, so rather than just going, what a jerk, honking your horn, maybe flick him off, son of a...
And then you speed up to 80, pull up beside him, give him the finger.
Right beside him and sideswipe him and flick him off and roll down my window and start screaming at him. That's road rage.
See, and that would be the extreme version. And I think what the AAA study was trying to emphasize was that, you know, there's varying degrees of this, right? And it doesn't have to escalate to that to still be considered, you know, raging on someone.
I think the article is a little broad, in my opinion. Reading it, I'm like, okay, that definition of road rage is a bit broad.
I think it was broad by necessity, though, right? I think we need to actually, you know, start looking at what actually encompasses anger towards someone else.
So the U.S. National Highway Safety Traffic Safety Administration defines it as an individual commits a combination of moving traffic offenses as to endanger other persons or property, an assault with a motor vehicle, or other dangerous weapons by the operator or passengers of a motor vehicle on the operator and passengers of another motor vehicle. And that had to occur on a roadway. Mm-hmm. So it's not just getting angry, flipping the bird, showing annoyance, honking your horn.
It's actually like driving your car erratically.
It's when you become unsafe, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. and really taking it. What the originally it said here is it the it is well beyond the perceived offense committed, where you're getting super angry.
So somebody cut you off, and now you've gone and tailgated and cutting them off and done other. Okay.
So, things like tailgating, erratic lane changes, illegal passing, purposely cutting off other drivers, hitting their car, or throwing other objects at them, and even getting out of your car to confront. Hmm. This article said that 8 million people last year got out of their car and confronted another driver on the roads. Yeah, that AAA article did.
Wow.
That's a lot of people getting out of the car.
That's a lot of people.
That's slowing down traffic, people. Just move it along. So usually it's just yelling at each other, but sometimes it can escalate to physical violence. Now, I saw this study on Matrix Medical Communications in the psychiatry section. They did a couple cool studies, and they said that 1/3 of the driving community admits to having road rage, which is the type of road rage we just discussed. Mm-hmm. Not the flicking off or yelling, but actually starting to be unsafe on the roads. Mm. They studied about 1,400 people, and 31.7% have shouted at another driver. 2% threatened to hurt another driver. And 1% attempted to damage the other driver's car.
Ouch.
So that is road rage, in my opinion.
Yeah,
You're getting there.
That would be probably the classic definition of, yeah.
So I still think that 1/3 of the population experiences that. That's a significant problem.
Well, 1/3 of the population has actually gotten out of their car or tried to use their car to actually inflict bodily harm on someone else.
Like started shouting at other drivers. Have you ever gotten to that point? Have you ever like shouted at another driver?
I do it with my, like I've never actually like rolled my window down. Well, see, I can't say that I've never. I might have at some point.
Rolled my window down, sure.
Yeah, right. But I mean, I don't go out of my way to, like I try to use it as, you know, I had read a while ago that you know, in terms of therapy, if you experience some sort of trauma, you're sometimes better off to just, you know, go fuck, 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 and just get it out of your system and then just move on. And it's more the moving on part that's kind of the, you know, but be able to just, you know, experience that and just, you know, to its fullest extent, get it through your system and then just be able to move on was actually a fully recognizable therapeutic treatment.
Right. Yeah, and that is true. I think there's a difference between doing that in your car. Now, for example, like why, if you were in a grocery store and someone cut you off or someone, you're not going to have the same response you are as if you are in your car.
But then you come down to that separation, right? Like, is it only there's because you actually have to look that person in the eyes when you're doing that?
I think, you can see them for sure.
But that's, you know, and so, you know, if it comes down to an expression of annoyance, would you still show that expression of annoyance to that person who cut you off in the grocery store? Yes, but you would do it to a different degree.
Yeah, you wouldn't go
than what you would have from that separation of having that window in front of you.
And you forget about it a lot quicker too. They say that we get angry in our car for a few reasons. Okay, number one.
I can think of a few reasons.
It's a tense situation regardless. Regardless of how much you've been driving, studies show that when you're driving, you're more tense. Mm-hmm. Your heart rate increases, your muscles tense up.
Well, you're driving 2,000 pounds of metal around, right? I mean, with a very good chance that you could hurt not only yourself, but someone else.
Yeah,
so you have that innate, hopefully.
Driving conditions, other drivers on the road. So when you're in your car, your tension is elevated. Mm-hmm. When you get in your car to go somewhere, you have a goal in mind. I'm going to get here at this specific amount of time. So things that get into your way that anger or block that goal produce a lot more anger in you. So
yes, you know, but it's one of those where like a red light is something you have no control over, but you still feel that same kind of anger and resentment towards it, right? Like, fucking red light.
Also, you're confined when you're in your vehicle. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're open road. You can go wherever you want, but you can't. You're stuck in your vehicle. Mm-hmm. You're stuck following the rules.
Rules of the road.
Yeah. Other drivers. You can't drive on the sidewalk. And so you're confined and you're very controlled where maybe you don't want to be. Unwritten rules are something I never considered. You probably drive over the speed limit, right?
The rules
we have
of the
rules.
Road. Yeah, yeah.
But then we have unwritten rules.
Where you know, driving 10 kilometers over the speed limit is okay. And that's where, you know...
That's the unwritten rule thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, and everybody that's not doing that 10 kilometers over is now instantly your enemy.
Yeah. Now they're all, this guy doesn't know how to drive.
What are you doing driving the speed limit? Who drives the speed limit anyway?
The article made a good point where if you're driving 60 kilometers an hour, 60 miles per hour for you Americans down the road, and you're 10 miles over the speed limit and you're in the fast lane, but someone's driving 5 miles over the speed limit in the fast lane, you would perceive
them. There's another unwritten rule, the fast lane, right? Like if you're in the fast lane, you're supposed to get out of the way of people going faster than you.
Yep.
And that's the whole unwritten rule of it. And if you don't, now you've become the enemy.
Well, the fast lane is for passing too. And there's also
exactly,
rules.
But that's where if somebody's coming up to you going faster, they're obviously they're obviously passing you, right?
There's the anonymity involved. This you don't know these people.
Right.
They're anonymous. You're anonymous. You may never see them again. Yeah. And that's one of my biggest fears when I, you know, do show annoyance to people. Like, what if I know that person? Like, I didn't actually check.
Oh,
this is my neighborhood. Do I know that person?
That was my new boss. Oh, damn it.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
And then you're not hired anymore.
Yeah. Or worse, right? Like if it's your neighbor, right? Like somebody that lived, you know, two blocks down or something, and now suddenly you see them every day on your walk.
A
right?
little awkward
like,
at that point.
Exactly. And if you had just, you know, taken a second to, I don't know, put yourself in that person's shoes for a second and just, you know, not have that emotional response, right?
Then you wouldn't have had that. What gets you angry on the road?
It's probably mostly the unwritten rules, right? You know, I have issues, you know, people that when they're turning and they won't pull into the turn lane or they slam on their brakes while they're still in the regular lane before, you know, and they had this whole lane to slow down, this whole turn lane specifically designed for people to pull over and slow down in, but they're slamming on their brakes or the people that leave 10 feet in front of them. And so if you're trying to turn, two cars have now blocked everyone that's trying to get past to turn because they're sitting 10 feet behind. And, you know, it's little things, but it's those little annoyances that build up, right? Yeah. Especially on a day-to-day basis, you know, it becomes one of those issues that you have to kind of...
And some days you'd react different than others.
Exactly.
Like for me, it's rules. It's following the rules. Like, we all know the rules. Like, the rules that are the rules.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me mad. At the grocery store right near our house, it's kind of like on a corner to two main roads. Mm-hmm. And some people use it as a cut-through. Mm. So, you know, if you're in a parking lot, you know, the person driving down doesn't necessarily have always the right of way. Like, if I'm backing up and that person's 4 or 5 car lengths down, I'm going to keep backing up and that person's going to wait for me.
Yep.
Well, these people don't. They drive out and start blaring their horn. Like, I was driving through here. So then I'm like, you're in a goddamn parking lot. Like, and I start, this isn't a freaking highway. You know?
And it's 3 seconds out of your to just right
know,
in a
just
parking
wait.
Lot where you should only be doing 10 kilometers. An
I know,
hour
and
anyway.
These guys are flying through to go through,
and that
that gets me mad. Like when they're way
well, especially
far
if
back.
You're putting people at risk. That's the part where it becomes like, and I mean, it's rough because there are times when there's actual, you know, when it seems like it's an actual righteous anger. Mm-hmm. That you're feeling, right? Where, you know, you've seen someone do something that was obviously wrong and something that, you know, and so that gets your righteous, you know.
Yeah, so you have a response, but it's more elevated because you're in your car and you have these things, you know, that we just talked about.
Well, and it's all this other stuff in your life. Right.
Yeah.
And you're getting, you know, sitting your own juices for a while, right? Like, especially like I have, you know, good 45-minute, hour-long commute some days that I'm trying to get home. And, you know, if everybody would just, you know, like when a light turns green, why can't we all just take our foot off the brake at the same time?
I know, right?
Right?
It's like, light's green, we're still standing here. What's going on?
The British actually did a study on it, and they showed that it's a wave of propagation that travels backwards at 10 kilometers an hour.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
So that 10-kilometer-an-hour propagation, that's the speed that everybody in front of them is taking their foot off the brake, right? Whereas, again, like, speed of light's pretty much, you know, way faster than that. I saw that it turned green 30 seconds ago. I don't know why we all couldn't have just, you know, started
ass,
moving
right
at the
away.
Same time, you know?
That's why I'm looking forward to them self-driving cars, because I think that would help.
Oh, God.
Because then they can all talk to each other.
Have you seen the actual, like, animation of the self-driving, like, 10-lane highway?
Yeah.
Where it's just... And no pauses, no stopping, no... Everybody just comes up, goes, okay, here we go, and if we go.
We get rid of road rage.
And they all talk to each other, and they know exactly how to, right?
Man, I'm waiting for that day, man. I got my deposit ready, Google.
And
come
road
on.
Road rage will evaporate.
Yeah, it would totally evaporate.
And suddenly, right? Like, that's one of those things that I really feel will make our, you know, just make everyone's life just a little bit better without having to make any effort whatsoever, let alone the fact that we'll be able to drive more efficiently. Mm-hmm. So we'll use less gas, which will use less, you know.
Get more sleep. Produce,
yeah, right?
You can
You'll
sleep
be able to sleep
driving?
In the car. Wouldn't that be awesome? Have a little nap in the car. 45-minute, right? Well, let alone that it wouldn't be a 45-minute commute anymore. Yeah. It'd be a 20-minute commute because you'd be using those roads more efficiently.
Yep. Then you'll be bragging about your commute. How long is your commute? An hour. Oh, nice. You get to watch a movie there.
Right?
That's awesome.
You get to sit down for a whole episode of... Right?
Get to snooze for an extra hour? That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, got a freaking hour in traffic. Damn it.
You know, you could get into your car and have breakfast on the way to work. You know,
so excited. Come on,
have
Google.
A coffee and some breakfast and, you know, just relax, read the newspaper.
Let's make this happen.
Hop out of your
happen.
Car and just start working.
So who are the most, or what makes an angry driver? Or who are these people that have the road rage? Okay, so 1/3 of us do. Who is it? So a recent study shown that the average angry driver has the average age of 33 and 96% of them are men.
Yeah, I'd believe that. You don't see very many women.
Not many women, but that is on the rise.
And maybe that's due to they're better able to process empathy and therefore feel.
You're probably right on that, yeah.
Right?
And guys have that protective and aggressive mentality, right? Like, we're the hunters and we, you know, you're messing with you're on my turf.
Well, and you know, if you're on an errand or something, then it's, you know, you're getting in the way of me feeding my family.
Women
are actually becoming increasingly involved in road rage.
They're getting more. Even mild-mannered people have admitted to losing control of their emotions when they get behind the wheel. Women are becoming increasingly involved in road rage.
See, and that's like, I've never punched anyone in my life.
Me neither.
Never.
Well,
right?
I punched my brother once.
Well, that you know, I mean, you punch people in the arm and such, but I've never actually punched anybody out of anger before, right? You know, and again, my brother will probably listen to this and go, five different times you punched me in the... right? But familial, you know...
Down the park.
Aside, you know, and I consider myself to be generally a pretty mild-mannered person, like, but you know, I still have that sense of, you know, anger.
So what makes an angry driver? So for some, it's the perceived need to counter drivers who they feel have violated their personal space. Like, they have possession of the road. They have the possession of... their car, their lane, and they've done something to violate their possession.
Well, it would be some small sense of actual, you know, control that you might have, you know, is just being able to get to where you're supposed to go in some sort of decent time frame, right?
For others, it's just unchecked anger. They're just pissed off their wife or their boss or their kids done something, and they're just holding that anger, and then
you cut
them off, and out it comes, fellas.
See, and that's another thing is, you know, the putting yourself in other people's shoes, because in a lot of ways, this anger is not necessarily directed at you, the person.
Yeah.
Right? And it's never really about you being the person that I'm angry at. It's always all this other shit that's coming out, and it just happens that you're the one standing here that happened to be the trigger for it.
You just remind me of that Family Guy episode when Brian's chasing a squirrel and he's mad at Stewie and he grabs a squirrel and starts yelling at him like it was Stewie. The squirrel's like, this isn't about me, is it?
No, and that's exactly what it comes down to, right? And that's where, you know, you put yourself in other people's shoes a little bit and you find that's, you know, we all have that pent up frustration. All of us are going through some shit at any given time. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy for that to spill over into our day-to-day, you know, reaction to other people, you know, and I apologize to everyone that I've ever had that, you know, like I try to be the first to apologize for my spillover.
Yeah.
Right? To be the one that you know, like, oh shit, that might have been too far. And recognizing that whether I agree with your opinion or not, you're entitled to that opinion. Mm-hmm. And my being angry about it is not going to necessarily change your opinion. Right.
Yep.
So it's more a matter of just accepting that, you know, I might have said things that, you know, might have gone over the line and I apologize for that.
Nothing wrong with having some passion.
Well, I agree completely. As long as you're able to recognize when that passion can get you in trouble.
Yeah, you got to reel that back a bit.
Yeah, there are definitely times when too much passion can lead to certain doom.
Okay, so others is unchecked anger. Seniors are not very likely to become involved in road rage. They're fine.
Their time frame is probably a little less.
They're just killing. They're like, whatever. We've seen it all before.
Yeah.
A younger me would have been
pissed
off.
I'll get there when I get there. They'll wait.
So these are some factors that will be involved in increasing the likelihood of road rage. Okay, so there's some non-psychological factors. How many miles per day you're driven, or how many miles in that day you've driven. If you're on the road for a long time, you just want
to
get home.
The more you got to deal with it, the more you would, you know, be subject to that kind of, for sure.
Carrying a firearm.
No, that's one that I, you know, I saw that and I've heard alarm bells immediately. Like that, that just seems logical, right? If you're carrying a gun with you, you're more likely to be brandishing that gun as a means of, I'm right, you're wrong.
Oh, you got a problem with my driving? Yeah. Why don't you talk to Smith and Wesson?
Yeah, right? Oh, buddy? You're backing off now, aren't you? Yeah, yeah, what do you expect, asshole?
Say hello to my Glock.
Right? Like,
So carrying a firearm, traffic density.
Definitely.
Obviously, especially here in Vancouver, man, you got an accident on the bridge, forget about it. Everything's screwed.
Yeah.
The context of anonymity, which we talked about before. And then another one, aggressive stimulation from bare billboards and building signs around you. And I was like, all right.
That's interesting.
Really?
So that sign is actually saying, beat the crap out of that guy.
Or maybe...
Hey, you see that guy? Go punch him. hey, that guy that cut you off? Go kick his ass.
Here's my Smith & Wesson. Yeah. Go buy one and shoot somebody.
Well, see, and that's, you know, again, if you're carrying a gun, you're more likely to, right?
I think, you know, even maybe listen to a podcast, an angry podcast, or you have people arguing or a very politically charged one.
Well, you know, I think road rage, that seems to be a decent, right? It seems a decent platform for getting a little girl out.
Don't listen to those on the road.
I've already expressed my you know, road rage frustrations now, so.
So there are some psychological factors. So people that are angry drivers typically have a tendency to displace anger.
Okay, so they're not actually dealing with it in emotion, like their normal emotional, they're taking it out. Like that's what you're talking about with taking it out on others, with it being nothing to do with them.
Yeah. They're displacing their anger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you're angry about something and it's obviously, like all I did was say hello. I don't know why why you're screaming in my face.
Because my boss freaking chewed me out for an hour and a half. Yeah, that's why. Yeah. So take your hello and shove it up your ass. Sorry, I got angry there.
Yeah. And I mean, I get that. I mean, I get hungry and hangry, right? Where you get angry? Your brain just doesn't process that well after a while, right? Like, you know, I've been working 12 to 15 hour days for the past little bit. A while, your brain just, you know, you're not able to have those reins on your emotions that you normally would, right?
I get that way, especially when I'm on a no carb thing. After a while, I'm like, oh, freaking, just eat some freaking food.
And so, that's again, like, you know, you try to just put it down to, you know, like, when somebody's yelling at you, most of the time, they're not really yelling at you.
Yeah. Right? Well, yeah, they are, but they're
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, there's part of them that's actually, but there's always, you know, I like to call it at least a 50-50 thing. There's usually something with you, but there's always something with them too, right? And it's never just a one-way street of, oh, you did something wrong. It's always something going on that's led them to this, you know?
They assign blame to others rather than taking it themselves.
Stupid red light.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're supposed to accept blame for a red light, but
they have stressful or unrewarding work situations. So again, that's that carrying that
job
with them.
Then jeez,
I know, right?
Rich will hand you your card.
Hand me your card. Come and see me. We'll get you working the next day.
There you go.
You get some pay and get some work boots. Now, there's something called Axis 1 and Axis 2 disorders that also play a factor, and they're just under the psychological factors.
Hmm.
Have you ever heard of these before, Axis 1 and Axis 2?
No.
Or showing up? So,
let alone a disorder that they've actually classified into different axes.
Sorry, they're not really disorders. There's five axes, and they're how to diagnose psychological disorders. There's how someone's psychological level.
Is this part of the kind of handbook, the MSDS or whatever?
MSDS?
There's a psychological handbook they use to classify different.
Yeah, there's a general health questionnaire which is used to score psychological disorders, but they base it on these five axes.
Okay.
So there's five axes. I'll quickly explain to them. And it's you still look at a graph and you're going to score each area. Axis one is the disorder that, or whatever caused you to go and see the doctor.
Okay.
I've tried suicide, I'm addicted, or I've been taking too much alcohol or marijuana, because it's a crazy one, crack, whatever. Axis two is a personality disorder. And so where they rank on having actual personality disorders. Number three, axis three, is medical or neurological problems that relate to current or past psychological problems.
Mm-hmm.
Axis four is major events that happened that could cause a psychological state of mind, like a divorce, a death of a spouse, loss of your job. And then five is the level of functionality that person has in society, rated on a scale of 100, meaning perfect, to 1, meaning they're dangerous to themselves or others. So there's 5 axes. So the first 2 will...
So, and that's just for diagnosing, basically?
Yeah, that's how to diagnose someone's psychological state. So people that will have road rage will show up on 1 and 2, mainly through drug or alcohol abuse. This one actually talked about marijuana causing anger. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think it does the opposite. No,
yeah, that's generally been my experience with it. Yeah, I've never actually smoked a joint and gotten angry before.
And this was from...
stupid joint.
This was from the Matrix Medical Communications Psychiatry section. Had this road rage. You'll see the links in the show notes, guys, if you want to take a look. People with severe road rage scored higher on the general health questionnaire. That's a questionnaire used to diagnose psychological disorders. People with type 2, they have borderline personality disorders. They have intense anger, and they have intermittent intense dysphoria. That's the profound state of unease, anxiety, or depression. There was a study done in Canada. There's a couple studies here I'm going to talk about. Mm-hmm. There was one done in Canada in 1994 of women that were arrested for DUI, and most of them had an associated with borderline personality disorders. There was a study in 2005 where there was a strong relationship with male young drivers that were involved in fatalities that had borderline personality disorders. So, and that's, again, it's intense anger. It's feelings of anxiety, of depression.
Which would lead to road rage. It seems natural that, you know, if you're harboring feelings of anger and frustration, that, you know, you're more likely to take that out on.
Yeah, take it out on other people. Yeah. So there was a study of more than 400 people recently, and it was found that those with borderline personality disorders were significantly more prevalent in people with road rage than those without. So people that had road rage, out of these 400 people, 24, almost 25% of them had borderline personality disorders. Huh. And people without road rage, less than 10% had borderline personality disorders. So just being a psychological state of mind causes you your road rage, I guess.
Well, it could be a predictor for personality disorder in general, right? I mean, if you're prone to, you know, outbursts of anger.
Yeah. Right? You get to throw behind the wheel and get that increased tension.
You know, and at what point in our society do we look at, you know, productive methods of dealing with anger and frustration and, you know.
Yeah, they got to seek help. Now, should you take away their license? Probably not.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's just a matter of training, right? A little bit of, you know, maybe empathy training.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that at the end about how to overcome the road rage. So angry drivers.
Oh, there's actually a way of not being so angry.
I got some tips here.
Oh, good. Well, then I'll tune in later.
or
continue tuning in as you all should, yes.
Okay, so angry drivers. What is an angry driver on the road? They engage in hostile or aggressive thinking. High anger drivers are more judgmental or disbelieving about the other drivers on the road. They are more likely to insult other drivers, to be in disbelief about how they got their license.
That would be a common, how did they get their license?
My grandma used to go, how did that person ever get their license?
Yeah.
I do that too. I always like, I can't believe this. I just want to follow this guy around the grocery store. You know, like I don't like slow drivers.
See, and that's, you know, and then you put yourself in their shoes and you go, they may have done it 5,000 times, no problem. Right? With parallel parking, right? You may have done it 1,000 times, no problem. That one time that you're just like, why is this not working? Right? And now suddenly you're that asshole. Right?
Yeah.
But you know, all the other times you were just fine. And it's the same thing for, you know, like they may not be that driver all the time. They may just be distracted at this point and you may just be experiencing that one time, you know.
Yeah, I don't get angry at that. I get angry at slow drivers. Yeah, people that are just way slow. People like under the speed limit slow. I don't like those drivers.
Well, let alone if they're in the fast lane.
And I always want to think, I want to follow this person around the grocery store and just watch them like buy cheese. Be like, what cheese should I get? Let me go here and stare at this for 15 minutes and decide what type of cheese I want to buy.
Or those people that are crossing the street and they see a car wanting to get and they just continue on without even speeding up a little bit. Just a little bit,
just
to show
oblivious.
That you actually give, you know, have some sort of compassion for the guy behind the wheel who's trying not to rage at you while you're doopy-dooing across the street, right? You're perfectly capable of just going a little faster and you just choose not to. And that, you know.
So angry drivers, we're talking about engaging in aggressive
Apparently
thinking.
I harbor a lot of these
Maybe you're an angry driver. they're more likely to have vengeful thoughts and sometimes plotting ways to do physical harm to other drivers. I have never once done that.
And that's the problem, right? Like when you really break it down, it's such a ludicrous thing to, right? Like, that red light, right? Like,
you're getting angry with someone
yeah,
for
exactly,
that.
Right? Like, why would you do that to yourself? It just makes no sense, right? And yet we still, you know, harbor those intense feelings of, you know, anger and resentment toward a red light that cut us off.
Well, I guess if someone has borderline personality disorders or they're not able
but, you know,
to
and that's,
displace
that's, you
an
know,
anger.
Like, because we all have those tendencies, you know, like, yeah, like 25% of them or whatever have borderline personality disorder. But if we all have that to a certain degree, do we all have borderline personality disorder?
Or maybe. Is
that, right? Like to
I
a
probably
certain,
do.
To a certain degree, you know, like I'm sure if you put us onto any one of the, like I had heard long ago that like 90% of us would be considered psychopaths given the test.
Really?
That they give to psychopaths when they're being released from prison or something.
Psychopaths is an interesting
and,
topic.
And, you know, I'm sure that's, you know, entirely fallacious when I say it. It's that kind of false information that we try to fight every day on this podcast, Learn Me Something.
Okay, so angry drivers, they take more risk on the road. They speed usually 10 to 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. They change lanes rapidly. They will tailgate and they'll enter the intersection while the light is red. I see that happen a lot.
Mm.
You know when you're going through an intersection and like, you're like, oh, that was, I shouldn't have gone through that. And you look back and the two cars behind you went through it.
Yeah.
Like, what were they thinking?
Well, yeah, exactly, right? It was bad enough that I went through, but come on, guys.
That's another unwritten rule thing. It's like, I'm driving at the perfect speed that everyone should be driving at. Anyone driving slower than me is wrong. Anyone driving faster than me is wrong. You know, I was the compass on when you should have gone through that red light.
See, and that's, you know, like, again, I find that our brains seem to be just kind of wired for that kind of thing, right? Like, it comes down to our innate sense of right and wrong that, you know, like, if they've done tests on, say, monkeys, right? And if two monkeys are being given oranges, they're cool with it. But if one monkey is given a grape, which they really like, then the other monkey gets really angry.
Yeah, I saw that right? one too, yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's a grape, but I wanted that grape too, goddammit. And it's the same, you know, we have that sense of, you know, just down in our brains, you have to actually fight it. So, you know, it's a matter of, you know, we all have those feelings, but how do you actually stop them from bubbling to the surface and actually taking control of your life?
I want to see that study done with two monkeys in a car. Just add that to it.
Oh, I'm sure they have the same thing. You know, that monkey cut me off, goddammit.
Monkey's going to be really pissed off right? then.
And then they're screaming and throwing crap at each other and it becomes a...
So angry drivers, they get into more accidents.
Yeah. Especially if you're taking more risks, you know, driving faster and changing lanes and tailgating, that, you know, it would lead to more accidents.
They get into twice as many car accidents as regular drivers.
See,
they,
now that is encouraging for me, as I have never been in an accident. Knock on wood.
You've never been in an accident?
Actually, that's not true. I did have a tiny little, I skidded and just touched the bumper of another dude, so nothing serious. But that was the only accident I've ever been in my life, knock on wood.
Long time ago, I had a string
Other
of,
than
like,
when my brakes failed. But.
Two accidents, like, within 3 months of each other was terrible. Both of my fault. It was terrible. And I wasn't road rage.
Wasn't
I was
due
just,
to road rage.
I was just being stupid.
Yeah, see, And that's the thing. Like I said, you know, in a lot of cases, all of this road rage comes down to the fact that you're dealing with a person who might be in, you know, general terms, a pretty decent driver. But sometimes we all have those brain farts where suddenly our brains just go, no, this is what I'm doing against all reason and sanity.
Can you imagine like killing somebody because you were pissed off at,
right?
A turn signal?
That would
be rough, man. Like, you got to think about that stuff. Like, if you're getting that angry and you're driving, like, you're driving erratically, you're driving a 5,000-pound, 3,000-pound car.
Well, and let alone you're carrying
somebody.
A gun while doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the car doesn't kill you, the gun will.
Either way, somebody's getting hurt.
So they have twice as many accidents as regular drivers. They have more near incidences. They get more speeding tickets.
This is also people who are under 33 who are shown to
have... Average of
33 who, you know, are shown to have more, and let alone males. I mean, I remember when I moved to Alberta, you know, I was under 25 at the time, and despite the fact that I had never had an accident before, my insurance rate skyrocketed because I was under 25 and it was shown that they were the ones who were prone to accidents, right? So their insurance rate structure was set up that under 25, you got...
I know. I remember that. I remember hitting 26 and being like, yes.
Yeah, right? And immediately it was cut in half. And I was just like, yeah.
Okay, so they get more speeding tickets than normal drivers. The major accidents, they don't happen more often. They happen the same amount of time as safe drivers. The article says that is mainly due to the fact that those major accidents are a rarity. They have more anger. They're impulsive, and anxiety. You
know, that's the question. Like, did they have that anger before? Or is this reacting to, right?
And that's, I think it's pent up anger.
So it would be assumed that people who have more anger would be more prone to road rage.
Yeah, or people that don't know how to deal with their anger, like the borderline personality disorders, they displace it. They, someone cuts them off.
And, if it's been undiagnosed, right? And you've just been carrying around anger and you assume that was just the way it was supposed to be, instead of recognizing that, we have a very short existence here and harboring anger isn't really helping you at all. So why not just let it go?
If you're in your car and you're listening to this podcast and someone just flipped you off or cut you off and you have an unreasonable response, then maybe you have borderline personality disorder. Go see your psychiatrist if you have one. So they have
help.
They have more anger, they're impulsive, and they have anxiety caused from stress from home at work. And they project their anger outwardly rather than inwardly.
See, now here's an interesting note, though. Angry drivers are not chronically angry. Something prompts them.
Yeah.
So a trigger by provocations of an event and how they handle that.
So specific events, and then just the anger just boom, bursts out of them.
So if over time you've had, 50 people cut you off, that 51st time, is that, that's your breaking point.
Yeah,
and that's
maybe.
Where you just lose it. And that's when the gun comes out.
The way I see it is just that... maybe that one is just not chronically angry, just something prompts them, and all of a sudden they just have an overwhelming response to that situation.
Or a response that would be, not in line with what happened to them. It would be completely blown out of proportion compared to the actual offense.
So road rage is as dangerous as it is not the top cause of accidents in America. Number one, still distracted driving.
Now, that would be a source of road rage as well.
For you, right?
Well, just watching distracted drivers in general, right?
I mean, I try not to text while driving. Sometimes I do and I shouldn't, I know. But I have my phone is on a mounted thing in my... So I don't have it in my hand. I'm not looking down. It's right up on the thing so I can... I shouldn't be doing it, but I justify it that way. Next, speeding. Caused accidents. Drunk driving.
Yeah, that would be a major...
Yeah, that used to be, I think, higher up on the list. So I'm glad to see it's coming down
sure,
a bit.
But now, the texting is taking control.
Rain and weather. Road rage is all the way down to number 18 for most causing of accidents.
Having a heart attack on the road is still more prevalent than road rage.
Having a heart attack?
I don't know. I was trying to guess what number 17 would be.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't go down that far. I didn't think our viewers would want to.
I was just throwing out, I don't know, a heart attack or a stroke or something. I don't know. Right?
Yeah, I should have went. I did top five.
I didn't think we need to know the whole
We don't have to go all the way down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad, but it's not. I mean, it's not killing more people than rain or the weather and whatnot. So what are the consequences of road rage? One, people that have road rage are going to get more tickets. Two,
you're tailgating and speeding.
Yeah, speeding, switching lanes, aggressive driving and whatnot. You're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to embarrass your friends or family in the car. I remember one time I was on a phone call with a client driving and someone cut me off and then flipped me off or gave me the run. I just instinctively, hey, fuck you, buddy.
While talking to a client. Yeah. No, like, oh, not wait, you, no, not
sorry.
You.
That was not you. Sorry, I'm driving my car.
And it's just that unconscious reaction. Right?
Yeah.
Don't even
fuck yourself.
Just don't even think about it. No, that's just what you do.
So you're embarrassing yourself. And then you also get to teach your kids that behavior. Mm. And that happens a lot of time.
Well, if you think about it, they're in the back seat and they have nothing better to do than to sit and stare at what you're doing.
Now that I'm thinking about this, I'm kind of bad for this. I was driving with my kids and there was this guy on a bike who was just yelling at everybody on the road. And I drive by him, he yells, I'm like, yeah, screw you, buddy. And then my daughter in the back seat is like, Daddy, roll down the window. I want to call him a bitch. I was like, fine. I think the screw you, buddy, took care of it for the family.
That's exactly. We get the idea.
My daughter was like 8 at the time. It was great. It's like, I want to call
it's
that
amazing
guy.
Amazing
bitch.
How early they learn those kind of.
Like, yeah.
Like little sponges.
Bitch, come on, Keely. You can come up with a better one than that. I mean, let's get creative here.
I have taught you way better words than that.
Bitch, that's where you land on?
Yeah.
That's a guy, for one, okay? Yeah. They can also get arrested. You could get beat up.
Well, if you're carrying a gun and brandishing it down the street,
You see some of those crazy videos where It just goes, things go nuts. So one down in like Australia where the couple was chasing this guy around, ramming their car for like half an hour. Get a grip, people. You get into more accidents and you could potentially kill somebody, mm-hmm. which we talked about. That would be just horrible. I can't imagine how terrible that would be to kill somebody because you were just angry for stupid reason.
Or just ignorant.
So how can we all become safer on the road?
Yes, how can we all become safer on the road?
It looks like there's a combination of cognitive restructuring and relaxation interventions. So cognitive restructuring is learning to process, the process of learning to identify and dispute irrational and maladaptive? Maladaptive thoughts. What's a maladaptive thoughts approach?
Basically mean like not adaptive. Yeah, well, or like malady thoughts. Being you know, irrational. Like sickness kind of thing. So,
okay. So cognitive restructuring is the process of learning to identify and dispute irrational or maladaptive thoughts.
Not productive.
Yeah. Relaxation interventions are breathing exercises that may involve relaxing the body and techniques such as diversion and visualization. Why can't I fucking say that word? Visualization.
You just said it. Yeah. Well, that, you know, if you learn to separate yourself from the rage and take a deep breath kind of thing, right? Count to 10. The usual kind of distraction to have it, so I think.
Apparently that works. So I don't try them. I go, screw you, jerk. And drive away.
See, and again, I'd seen the study where you're better off to just kind of yell and scream for 5 seconds and get out of your system. So
I hear that, but I don't know. Maybe you should do it to yourself, not to other people.
Well, that's the difference of rolling up your window and rolling down your window, right?
So Better Road Habits is an article by AAA. It has a few points on how we can all not get into road rage situations. First off, don't offend. Don't cut people off. If you're going to drive slowly, use the right lane. Don't go in the left lane. Use the right lane. We all know this, people.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't tailgate people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Avoid obscene gestures.
What?
No matter how angry you are.
That's just normally how I drive. I just keep my fingers up at all times just in case.
They say don't engage. One angry driver can't start a fight.
Yeah, just drive away, eh?
Steer clear and give angry drivers lots of room.
Especially if they're driving in an erratic manner, right?
Yeah, just give them lots of room. Just back up. They'll be gone in a minute. Let them drive up ahead. And then you always see them at the red light going, mm-hmm. Oh, that was a lot of worth it there, buddy, wasn't it, huh?
Drive like an asshole. That's the worst part is you get all angry about this person that cuts you off when you all get there at the same time and those stupid lights are going to stop you all.
And they speed away again. And you see them at the next red light. Yeah, you're doing really good, buddy. Call the police if you need help or feel threatened. Mm-hmm. Forget winning. We all have this thing of like, I'm going to get here in this amount of time. Guys do that a lot. You know, it's like, okay, I can get there in 36 minutes. I'm going to try to do it in 35 this time. Forget that. Give yourself extra time. Just in case there's slowdowns on the road, accidents. Put yourself in the other person's shoes. That's that empathy we were talking about.
Right? I knew that was going to come back to that.
This person's racing down the road. Why? Are they about to get fired?
Yeah.
Did the boss say, you got one more chance. If you're late again, you're going to get fired.
Did they just walk in on their wife cheating on them with their best friend, and this is the only way that they had to actually process that emotion, and, you know, you're experiencing a part of their life that, you know, you're being dragged into, unfortunately, but that may just happen to you tomorrow.
Is there an emergency at home where they're rushing home to help somebody out? Too, are they a volunteer firefighter on the way to the scene? You don't know. Mm. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And if you have anger management, seek counseling.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, is that person more angry than you and carrying a gun?
Yeah. Right? If you're in Florida, don't engage
You're not going to win that argument, I would think. You know, you may think you could, but...
So let's talk about road rage laws. Most road rage laws are going to be treated as assault and or battery, vehicular homicide, careless or reckless driving. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of states and countries have road rage laws. Australia is one that has classifies road rage as an extremely serious act. Any person who chases another motorist or shows intimidation and or bullying towards another road user can be charged with predatory driving, a serious offense that can leave the culprit in jail for up to 5 years. Yeah. Offenders can be fined as much as $100,000 and disqualified from driving.
You'd think that some of that would be considered like, you know, if you actually followed someone home and you know, killed them with your car, you'd think that would be first-degree murder, right? Because you actually had a premeditated...
To kill someone, for sure. But this one here doesn't even say you have to kill them. It says whether they intended to harm the person or not. just if you displayed road rage, which I guess they have defined.
Well, I guess on the assumption that it could lead to.
In Germany, road rage, insults, and rude gestures in traffic can lead to fines and even prison sentences to drivers who shout insults or make offensive gestures while driving. If I was in Germany, I'd be going to freaking jail, man. Road rage is a criminal offense in Singapore. When found guilty, the offender may be jailed for up to 2 years and or fined up to $5,000 for causing hurt, I guess harm. The UK is up on that. It follows under the Public Order Act of 1986. This act covers most of road rage, which includes harassment, causing alarm, distress in others. Using language that would cause the victim to feel as though violence were to be used against them. In the U.S., 24 states have passed laws against aggressive driving. California is the only state that has defined road rage as a legal term.
Interesting.
Yeah, the rest, so 24 states, so that's what, half the states have laws against aggressive driving.
Yeah, and the rest of them are like, nah, it's cool, man.
Yeah, it's cool, man, as long as you don't kill anybody.
As long as you're not pulling out your gun.
We have other laws.
And even if it's pulling out your gun, we could probably get you on to defending your right to carry a gun.
I guess it's not really viewed as a huge problem, considering it's number 18 and causing accidents, so I guess there's not a lot of attention. I mean, yeah. It's more of an annoyance, right? I mean, it's everyone has
a story. Most of the time, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, because most of us experienced it to a certain extent, we can all kind of empathize with it a little bit. It's more just the carrying out of that, you know, the escalation of it that's the problem, right? I mean, if you're, you know, again, carrying a gun and drinking at the time, that's going to escalate pretty quick, right?
Yeah. Have you ever seen any road rage happen? Like,
other than my own,
yeah, like other people's road rage.
I don't believe I've ever actually
seen a couple.
Right? I mean,
I've seen a couple. So I saw this crazy one. I was on the highway, it's traffic, and there was a group of motorcycles that were driving on the soft shoulder.
Yeah,
and this one guy with a trailer, I guess he didn't like that, so he goes to cut them off, and neither one were giving up. I mean, both were going pretty slow, and they actually ended up hitting. So, and there was a group of bikers. This biker comes around, he rips off his helmet and he smashes the driver's side window, opens the car, jumps in and starts pounding on this guy. And the other three guys circle around and just kind of hang out and wait. And I'm like, oh crap, okay, I got to call the police.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So I call the police and I guess a bunch of other ones did. I guess the guy was fine, but it caused a bit of a stir. I mean, I guess he messed with the wrong one. I mean, whatever, the guy's driving down the soft shoulder. Yeah, that guy's a dick, and you know.
But they're on a motorcycle.
Yeah, they're on a motorcycle.
They have no protection from you being an asshole.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, they were going like maybe 10 kilometers an hour.
But
they
probably had a reason to be doing that on the soft shoulder, right? I mean, there's no reason that a motorcycle would be on the soft shoulder when there's every possibility of them, you know, getting tossed off.
Well, also the guy's reaction was pretty unjust.
Well, now granted, yeah, you know, smashing his window, hopping in the car and beating the crap out of him. Not necessarily.
He had to higher ground at that point, and he kind of lost it.
Yeah.
I saw another
one. The moral high ground, yeah.
I saw another one that happened just outside of our house. I didn't know what was going on, but they were stopped at a stoplight and a pickup truck and a car, and the woman was out of the car and she was yelling at this guy, and the guy kept driving up as she. And she was like running up to hit him or something. Then he'd drive away. Then she'd stop and go back. And then he'd stop. And then I'd taunt her. And then finally she took her, what's that thing called that you put on the lock the steering wheel?
Oh, the.
One of those things? I can't remember what it's called.
Hooks.
Yeah. She took that and just whipped it at this guy. Jeez. Didn't hit him.
The effort was there.
My wife had the best response to me. Bitches be crazy. There was a study done in 2007 on the most road raging cities. Number one, New York, obviously.
Now, this is just in the U.S. or is this a worldwide?
No, this was the U.S. Sorry, this was the AAA one did it. I think AAA did this one. So New York was one. Dallas, Fort Worth, the city with two names. Detroit, Atlanta, then Minneapolis, St. Paul, another one with two names. Maybe that's why. Like, God damn it, why can't we have a quick one like Detroit?
See, and I had seen a thing a while ago. They had done a study on the cities that had the shortest response time before they would start honking at people.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm pretty sure New York was at like a minus one.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Like they'll start honking at people before the lights turn green because you're not moving already, right? Yeah.
That's strange. But I saw another one that had Minneapolis, St. Paul as one of the nicest ones. So it was kind of weird.
Interesting.
Kind of weird how that switched around like that. So yeah, that's road rage. That's all I got on road rage.
Well, you know, and I have to say, when you first said you were doing road rage, I kind of went, wow, how is he going to fill an hour with that? And I got to say, this has been quite interesting. And I really have found out a lot of new things about road rage that I did not really know about before.
Well, you know, it's something that we all got to deal with. So next time you're in your car.
Apparently we do all. To some degree, we all have it in our little monkey brains. That
well, AAA says 80% of us do. Yeah, I don't know about that, but
see,
whatever.
And again, you know, like that's the people that report it, right? And there's some that would be like, no, I never experienced road rage ever. But I would think that they're, you know, to some degree.
Well, if you've never experienced road rage, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, for sure.
Drop us a line at LMS Podcast on Twitter. We're at Learn Me Something on Facebook. Or you can just like and rate us in the subscription feed for iTunes.
Make sure you subscribe on whatever you use to listen to us.
Wherever it is, we're out there everywhere. And please like and share us and spread the word because we're up and coming. We're growing. We want to...
Show us some love, people.
We want to keep expanding this empire that we built of our 50 subscribers. We want to get to 50,000.
This entirely 50, altruistic empire of trying to, you know, teach people something.
So we'd appreciate it if you can give us some love and share us around.
Thanks for joining us. And as always, Florient Endrette, may your brain cells flourish.
I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Learn Me Something with Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum on Hologram Radio. If you like the podcast, please rate and subscribe in iTunes and share it with a friend. To find other interesting podcasts like this one, please visit our website at hologramradio.org.